There is nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome to Studio 2009. I'm, of course, TF2 and Mike. Joining me, as always, is Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Are you ready to have a most excellent adventure?
Totally, dude.
Excellent!
Or are you ready to have a bogus journey?
Excellent!
An excellent adventure.
Of a bogus journey.
Yes.
Yes. So tonight, whenever you find people consume this podcast, if you consume this podcast, hopefully you do, because it's something new that we're doing. Inside the studio for the first time, I've only ever seen the Bill and Ted movies infrequently and in bits and pieces. I've never actually seen them all the way through until now. And holy crap. I enjoyed them.
They're dated, aren't they?
It's an 80s. I don't want to say it's an 80s throwback because it really isn't. Because it came out. First one came out in 88. Second one came out in 91. They're not really dated, but there are some 80s movies that I can rewatch. Specifically, I'll say Back to the Future 1, 2, and 3. Weird Science, Cocktail, Tom Cruise and Brian Brown in Cocktail, Transformers the movie. I'm trying to think of other 80s things. Stopper My Mom and Shoot with those 90, 91, so kind of fits in. But the point is that these 80s movies, for me, they are not something that I would be rewatching on a regular basis. I enjoyed what I saw. I enjoyed the acting. I enjoyed the story. However, in the future, I'm probably not going to be facing the music to these films.
I'm kind of excited to watch the third movie, to be honest. Because I want to see what they do with it. And yes, there have been, and always will be, when you're picking up continuations of shows, there's going to be this aspect that's not quite as good as the originals, mm-hmm. or will not stand the test of time. And yes, I think that there could be an element of that in Bill and Ted Face the Music. However, mm-hmm. I think that because it lives in this weird time travel universe, mm-hmm. And the way that it messes around, I think that we could end up with actually a really good movie for a continuation, as opposed to like Die Hard 5, which was utter garbage, and things like Dumb and Dumber 2 that honestly didn't need to be made. So again, I think that this movie, I think, will be pretty decent.
Yeah, the third movie looks really good. My wife wants to see it. And after seeing the first two now, I want to see it as well. All as I was really meaning was that while I enjoyed Bill and Ted 1 and 2 in the moment that I saw them for the first time, I'm like, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. But, you know, for me, when someone says party on, I think of Wayne and Garth before I think of Bill and Ted.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that, but honestly, I liked this more than I liked Wayne and Garth.
Really?
Yeah. I found this almost more natural. Like they look, because they look that part. They look that age. They don't. Mm-hmm. Whereas Wayne and Garth look old. Like they live in their mom's basement type of thing. Like they're old guys sitting in there, and it just kind of, I don't know. It just doesn't really resonate with me all that well. Yeah, I mean, I think that they did really good with this. Plus I enjoyed, wasn't it William Sadler that plays Death?
Mm-hmm. In the second one, yeah.
He's going to be in the third one, which is kind of, in a sense, going to be like the Rufus role, since George Carlin is unfortunately not among us.
Yeah. I was actually really surprised because I hadn't seen these. I mean, like I said, I've seen them sporadically. I've seen different pieces of them, but I've never actually seen. I was like, hey, wait a second. That's George Carlin as Rufus. That's freaking awesome. Yeah, that was really, really cool. I dug that. The first film, the basic plot of it is that Rufus goes back in time to make sure that Bill and Ted go on their paths in life. Yes, in order to make sure the utopian Bill and Ted future is secure. And this basically means that they have to not fail their history report. And I find that interesting that they tie it into school and learning and how these two knuckleheads are basically dweebs because they're not learning the education that they should be.
Pretty much.
But I love the premise of them having to go back and they end up just basically stealing people from time.
Yeah, especially Napoleon.
Mm-hmm. That was funny.
Yeah. I definitely enjoyed the first one more than the second one.
Yeah.
The second one, yeah, the whole thing with death, yeah, I liked that. But on a whole, like, I think I liked the first one better.
Yeah, I like the first one better. I do enjoy Bogus Journey because Bogus Journey... I'm really surprised that Excellent Adventure doesn't have a tie-in to another franchise. But Back Bogus Journey? No. Well, I mean, I would rather be in a DeLorean or a phone booth than a TARDIS. But anyway, that's just me personally.
Isn't that a phone booth?
Yeah, it kind of is, but whatever. Anyway.
It's not as cool.
Yeah, so my...
Need for that.
I know, right? Sorry, folks. We're not Whovians.
Not that there's anything wrong with Whovians.
Exactly. It's just not our thing. If it's your thing, that's amazing, and that's great for you. It's a
beautiful thing about geekdom. You can unleash the geek in you and no matter what it is.
Exactly. So in Bogus Journey, we have a 80s connection because the main villain was Arjun Rudd in Lethal Weapon 2. Diplomatic immunity!
Yeah, see, I didn't catch that because I haven't seen that movie in forever.
As soon as I heard his voice, I'm like, where do I know that guy from?
I knew him. Like, I just didn't know where.
Yeah, as soon as I heard his voice, I'm like, wait a minute, is that who I... Oh, yeah, I looked it up on IMDb, and I'm like, hey, Mr. Arjun Rudd, diplomatic immunity. Yeah. What I find interesting is that between the two films, they had two directors, two different directors. The first film's director was Stephen Herrick, and he has done a bunch of cool things. His debut as a director, according to Wikipedia, was Critters in 1986. He then did Bill and Ted. He did Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, The Mighty Ducks, The Three Musketeers in 93, Mr. Holland's Opus in 95, which at some point on this show we will talk about. That movie. 1996 is 101 Dalmatians, Holy Man with Eddie Murphy in 98, Life or Something Like It in 2002, Man of the House in 2005. He's done a lot of really cool things. According to this, and this again, this is just Wikipedia, the last thing he directed was The Great Gilly Hopkins in 2015. He's also done some television stuff. Interesting. Yes, television stuff. He directed one episode of one of my favorite shows that you actually got canceled.
Dallas?
He directed the episode entitled False Confessions from TNT's revival of Dallas.
Yeah, in case people don't know, I said a snide remark about it getting canceled, and Mike was like, don't say that! And then it got canceled.
Exactly. Yeah, it is what it is. What was your favorite scene in the first film?
The first film. I liked the knights scene, surprisingly enough.
Yeah, that was funny.
Where he thought that Ted was dead. But I liked how they kept bringing all of the different aspects in there, and Napoleon eating all the ice cream, and you know, they're like, oh, who's a chubby bunny or whatever, and I just started laughing. I thought it was pretty funny. And then he just kept licking the plate clean, like, I've never had this before. but then there were a lot of other moments too. You know, whenever they started picking up, like when they're in the Wild West. I thought it's funny. I used to see the Circle K in like a lot of movies, and coming from Michigan, I'd never, like, I knew that it's in like Bill and Ted. I knew it was in, you know, the Kevin Smith movies. And I was like, I have no idea what this place is. Like, I didn't know if it was just created for the sake of these movies or if it was a real place. And it wasn't until I came to Colorado that I saw my first Circle K. And I was
really?
Like, I was like, okay, this makes sense. Like, I know where they are now around here, which is funny because they're about as common as 7-Eleven. You don't see any, like, other than Shell, you see no major gas stations here. Like, maybe, well, you see, like, like the Phillips 66 and the, like, the Sinclair, the one with the dinosaur or whatever. But you really don't see anything else here, unless it's, like, some kind of an off-brand thing. So, it was funny for me to see the Circle K there. But I liked the, pretty much anytime Rufus showed up, I really enjoyed it because, it's so funny to see George Carlin subdued.
Yeah.
Which only happens when he's in film.
Mm-hmm.
So that was nice. And then, of course, getting to see them kind of time travel and talk to themselves. And it was really a lot of fun overall.
That conversation makes a heck of a lot more sense now.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I enjoyed everything with George Carlin as Rufus. I enjoyed, even though we didn't see much of them, I liked the council members that send him back in time. I think they were kind of cool. Let's see. I like that Bill and Ted make friends with the historical figures, and they're not just there to... Like, Bill and Ted are the most bungling kidnappers ever, but they more or less, you know, suggest or more or less trick the people to going with them, or basically they just stumble into the phone booth kind of thing. I love that Billy the Kid is kind of like the lead hero for the historical figures. I think that was cool. It's
funny because he's the most like them, just mm-hmm. time displaced.
Yep. Very much so.
And it doesn't tell you who's about to die. Like, some of them, they have to do the history report. You think some of them would be like, maybe we shouldn't go back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's very cool. In the second movie, I like it. I think... You know, it added something new with having the evil Bill and Ted and having them kill them and Death come in. And the funny thing is, once Death becomes a part of the band, I'm like, ooh, this feels like a live-action version of Billy and Mandy from Cartoon Network.
It kind of has that vibe, but I would almost assume that that's where that came from originally.
Maybe. Who knows? Most likely. The one thing that confused the hell out of me with Bogus Journey is at the end, Bill and Ted eventually take their act to Mars. And I'm like, okay, why? But whatever. I don't know. What did you like about the second one?
Well, the second one I enjoy because it... it's different, but there was aspects of it I really didn't care for. Like, for instance, I didn't like the whole scenery where they're in hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a little much.
It was a little much. It was a little creepy. I liked where they argued with death. And then they played board games, and they're like, best out of three, best out of five, best out of seven, mm-hmm. you know. And then finally gave up and was like, fine, I'll just take you. And then, you know, and then they go to heaven, and then they end up talking to these two creatures, which reminded me of the aliens that were in the... it was either like an Ernest movie, or it was like the Masters of the Universe film.
Hmm.
I was getting that vibe from it. And I knew that it was different, but I thought that it was kind of interesting that they were very similar. I mean, granted, they all came out around that time, so it could have been the same studio saying, all right, you got to make this work with these props and these Muppets, and we're not giving you any more money. So it could have very well been that, which I could see, but... It still was a little creepy, especially when they came together into one. I liked how they did the effects with the robot Bill and Ted.
Yeah, that was cool.
And the ghost Bill and Ted, where they were in a seance. It was basically like it was like a prequel to like the Scary Movie franchise that came out. You know, that kind of parodies freaky movies.
Yep.
Because this movie kind of did it all before those did it.
Very much so, it did, yeah.
But no, I mean, I liked the inclusion of death, which kind of was a natural bridge because George Carlin wasn't really in it all that much, except for the beginning and the end. Like, but yeah, I was very happy that they had that kind of in there. Now. In terms of this film and the third one, it kind of leaves a little bit, you know, kind of up in the air.
Yeah.
Especially the way that this one ends and the new ones are going to begin. Because mm-hmm. it's like, oh, they, you know, diverged from history. by quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a little interesting. Like, I mean, I like the whole idea of Face the Music, and I enjoyed that trailer. But I'm not sure how the third one's going to bridge the gap, or how they're going to, what kind of time travel tomfoolery they're going to
work on. And they also make, and I, again, this is just judging off a trailer. I'm not putting it down because I really want to see it. It's kind of funny. Like, if they were going to have, like, Face the Music, I was assuming that Bill and Ted would have gone got like real jobs and just became like boring grown-ups, and then had to have their younger selves kind of like give them a kick in the pants. So it would have been interesting to see that kind of a thing play itself out, especially since they're dressing the same and trying to talk and act the same. And Keanu just sounds old trying to do his Ted. Like, the one that plays Bill, like, he pulls it off pretty well.
Alex Winter, yeah.
Yeah, Alex Winter. But Keanu Reeves just, man. Yeah, I was like, he sounds old. And, I mean, I know they are. They're in their 50s. But still, like, it just, I was like, I don't really know. And then I thought it was kind of funny because they have them go to the jail in the trailer, and you see, you know, this heavily buffed Bill and Ted with, like, this evil rock band sound to them. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see when this comes out and to kind of revisit and kind of update our thoughts on it. But no, I mean, I enjoyed the second one. It wasn't really a time travel thing per se, as coming back from the dead.
Yeah.
And that they blundered their way through that. It was almost like watching a Scooby-Doo episode, but with sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and they were both fun films. They're just not, for me personally, they're just not rewatchable enough. Like, I would probably see them again maybe before the third one comes out. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, so the third one was supposed to have both of them basically actually come through by the end of it. What's funny is somebody called it out actually earlier this week or last week and says, this was like June 18th when it came out, says, wait, does Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey take place in an alternate timeline? Because it says, like, clues from the first, you know, trailer of Face of Music hint that alternate timelines are possible, especially as the Wild Stallions travel to the future and meet their jailed, musclehead versions of themselves. And there's a glimpse of the duo playing air guitar with Death, and it looks like the apocalypse is happening just outside his office window, which points to another possible timeline where they were never able to complete their song. So I kind of wonder, you know, how that plays out. There's also mention that if it is an alternate timeline, it could mean that the version of Rufus from the second movie was actually from a different plane of existence entirely. And they're alluding to that this could be the reason that, you know, prove that it's Rufus's fault why they still haven't been able to complete their song to bring the world together due to a split in the universe.
but they're
gonna have like a tribute to George Carlin in there. They used to have a Bill and Ted cartoon back in the 90s.
Yeah, they did.
I never watched it, but I knew that they had one.
Yeah, I never watched it either. I knew it existed though, like you said. Is there anything else on that? I mean, I know we're not going super in depth on it or anything, but like I said, I watched it. I enjoyed them. I think they're funny movies. I think the characters are really well rounded. I think that putting them in the situation that they were in Bogus Journey was interesting to the point of being necessary for the characters, because you had to, especially at that time in 91, that kind of plot was all over the place. So I thought that was interesting. Like you said, there's probably going to be a tribute to Rufus in the third one, but they do look, as much as I love Keanu as John Wick, they look a little too old for Bill and Ted now.
Yeah.
And unless they're going to do, like we've said, CGI or some sort of whatever, like basically cut some of the old footage from the first two films to match, to make the younger version. I don't know how they're going to do it. They can do all kinds of stuff nowadays with digital and whatever.
I just look forward to seeing how they play this out and how it works.
Yeah, same here.
On a whole. I'm again just looking forward to it. They do say that there are multiple references to George Carlin in this third movie.
Very cool.
Basically as tributes. One of them being that they named a new character called Kelly, which is a name specifically chosen to honor George Carlin, as it's the same name as his daughter.
Oh, very cool.
The second reference to Carlin is more of a connection to Rufus, with the movie set to feature a watch that has been a keepsake from the first movie, Bill and Ted. And it has been revealed that at some point in the upcoming story, the heroes will find a message from Rufus written on this watch that says, "Sometimes things don't make sense until the end of the story."
There you go.
I look forward to seeing how this plays out. And again, it's going to be interesting to see how this all comes about.
Absolutely.
Especially with Bill and Ted having kids. Oh, man.
Well, they had to grow up sometime, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, did they? So what would you give the first movie out of the 5-star rating?
0 to 5, I'd probably give it a 4. Like I said, I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. I laughed a lot. 4 out of 5. What about you?
I'd probably give it a 4.5, only because I'm going to give the second one probably a slightly lower rating. And it was really good, and I did enjoy it because it was different.
Mm-hmm.
So for the second movie, I would give it a 4, maybe a 3.5, just kind of depends. There was a good portion of the movie I liked, but there was a good portion of the movie that I was like, okay, I'm kind of done with this. Mm-hmm. So I would kind of blitz through it. But
for me on the second one, I'm probably basically just going to give it a straight 3, middle ground. Not that it's good or bad. There are good moments in it. There are also, as you're saying, there are moments that kind of make us a little uncomfortable, like the whole thing in hell and whatever else. But I get it. That's part of the movie. It's part of the story. And it works for what it was. It just didn't appeal to us, I guess, obviously. So there is that. But, I mean, 4 for the first one and 3 for the second one, that's not bad. I mean, it's not like we gave them a 2 and a 1.
No, that I've seen worse movies.
Yeah.
Anything modern, Adam Sandler.
Oh, no.
Anyways.
I can tell we're going to have an Adam Sandler episode at some point. The decline of Adam Sandler or something. I don't know. Anyways, coming up next on the show here inside the studio is episode 7.
We're getting hungry. And it isn't,
yeah. Pizza, pizza.
Pizza, pizza.
That's right. It is entitled The Goodness of Pizza, and it comes out of something that Steve did on Facebook that I have screen caps of that I eventually kept going back and forth with his lovely wife, Mary, about how logically pizza is good for you. And she just kept saying, nope, nope, not really. Nope.
Technically, she's but not wrong.
Technically, I'm not wrong either.
Well, no. I used to have a steel stomach. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
I did have Domino's, though, for Father's
Day. Hey, now. Okay, that's part of the conversation that we're going to have next time. Domino's has gotten a hell of a lot better since the 80s and 90s.
Oh, yeah. I liked it when they changed the recipe, but we're not on the Domino's episode. But I did finally get her to cave.
You beg long enough.
Well, I kept seeing pizza trucks going by delivering pizza. And I was like, man, that Domino's really looks good. And we were driving home, and she's like, I gotta go to the store. And she came back with pizza, and I was like, yes!
There you go. So that's what's coming up here inside the studio as well. Anything you want to say before I close it out, sir?
Be excellent to each other.
Party on, dudes. Yeah, in the world that we're currently living in, I think that's a really good motto about being excellent to each other. Thank you for joining us here inside the studio. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts from this show and all the other shows we do. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, the home where our files exist, Spreaker. You can also listen to us on any other podcatching client you are using. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. We are a new show. We need some feedback. Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio is the network. It's Studio 2009 is the show Twitter. I am at TFG1Mike. What is your Twitter, sir?
At SCP21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork, and you can also search out Studio 2009 Podcast on Facebook as well. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Steve Megatron Phillips.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon. Catch you next time, folks.
Be excellent to each other. Party on, dudes!
In a world, there, I said it, happy.